Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, we revisit the topics of land trusts and conservancy, through which private individuals, acting on their own, have preserved and protected some of the pristine wilderness areas, some of the most environmentally sensitive land, but also some of the top spots for outdoor recreation in the state of Wisconsin. The subject is in the news this week because of Ken and Carolyn Aldridge, a couple who purchased 3,200 acres of land surrounding the Minocqua Winter Park cross-country ski area and then preserved it through easements in order to keep it free from development while keeping it in private hands, in perpetuity. The area encompasses 5 square miles of winter recreation land and ensures that the trail system used by Minocqua Winter Park skiers will never be broken up and that the old-growth forests on the land will never be clear-cut. We'll be hearing from Ken and Carolyn Aldridge in just a few minutes. Later in the program, we'll also hear from Dave Kozaloo, one of the directors of the Lakeland Ski Touring Foundation, which manages Minocqua Winter Park. We'll also hear about the state stewardship program from Mary Rose Tevis of the Wisconsin DNR. But first, we welcome to our Wisconsin Public Radio studios Matt Dahlman, the director of the Northern Wisconsin region of the Nature Conservancy, and Brian Pierce, executive director of the Northwoods Land Trust, whose organization made the preservation of those 3,200 acres of land possible. Now, you can call us, too, if you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Brian, Matt, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Glenn, for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Boy, this is something else, isn't it?
Yeah, this is really an extraordinary time to be able to celebrate some pretty significant conservation work by private landowners.
Well, let's start by talking about your organizations. Brian, you go first. Tell us about the Northwoods Land Trust. Where are you located? What geographic region do you cover? And what exactly do you do?
Yeah, well, like the other roughly 50 land trusts that we have in the state of Wisconsin, we're a nonprofit, tax-exempt conservation organization. And in our case, we work in about a 6-county area here in northern Wisconsin, so Vilas, Oneida, Forest, Florence, Iron, and Price counties. And actually, we've started to work a little bit in northern Langlade County on just a couple of projects. But our focus is conserving private lands, working with private landowners on a strictly a voluntary basis to make sure that some of the natural lake shorelines, natural river and stream shorelines, large blocks of woodland areas and wildlife habitat, to make sure some of those are protected in perpetuity. So really looking ahead to future generations and making sure that kids, families nowadays and mm-hmm. their kids and on will be able to enjoy some of the same kind of natural resources that we do right now.
Typically, do people come to you?
Yes, although we also have done some direct mail campaigns, putting some of our information about those voluntary conservation options and mailing them to people who own property in our region that we think might have an interest in trying to keep it protected.
Now, you mentioned there are 50 different land trusts. How does that work? Do they all have separate, distinct geographical areas that they cover?
Yeah, we actually work very cooperatively, and we have a statewide organization called Gathering Waters Conservancy that works as our statewide service agency. And they, so all of us actually try to segregate out some specific service territories. And then if we have a project that we simply can't do, there are also some of the national groups like the Nature Conservancy that we work cooperatively with and do cross referrals. So it works out really well.
Well, Matt, let's talk about the Nature Conservancy. Now, we know you're involved, and it's not just national. You're involved in preservation all around the globe. So how does that fit in with what you do in Wisconsin?
Sure. A little bit about the Nature Conservancy. We do. We work in about 30 countries now. We have programs in all 50 states. Since we've incorporated in 1951, we've worked across the world to protect about 119 million acres, 5,000 miles of river frontage across the globe. And we have about 1 million members, so we're a membership organization in Wisconsin. We've worked for about 50 years now, and we protected about 162,000 acres of land, and we have about 20,000 members. And the way that we work, again, we like to partner with these up-and-coming 50 land trusts, and we We really like to partner and do referrals, like Brian said. We've been focusing more lately in the last decade or so on larger projects, like 60,000-acre working forest or 20,000-acre working forest that protect jobs and water that supports drinking water and recreational opportunities in mm-hmm. the state. So we are, you know, there's a little bit of division here. We are able, with our membership and in our larger organization, able to tackle maybe some of the bigger projects and the local land trust do the cool things that are more local.
Now you two guys did work together on this 3,200-acre project, although my understanding is that Brian did the heavy lifting.
Right. We both met with the landowner, and it just seemed to be a better fit for the local land trust.
Now, why would that be, Brian? Why would it be a better fit for you than for the Nature Conservancy?
Well, again, the Nature Conservancy works on the globally most ecologically significant projects. This particular project actually has some great ecological characteristics, but it also has a very strong local community outdoor recreation component, in that it's really protecting the incredible cross-country ski trails and snowshoe trails that are out there at Monaco Winter Park. So I think it was that local community component and local support for the project that kind of shifted it to our more local land trust.
What's the property like?
It's real diverse, actually. It's got some real diverse topography. For those of you who haven't been out there, Squirrel Hill used to be a local downhill ski area that operated probably 50 years ago, and it went for a while, but then financially they just couldn't make a go of it. But then 30 years ago, the Lakeland Ski Touring Foundation, as a local group, worked with the town of Minocqua. The town owns 40 acres right there in and around part of Squirrel Hill, and has the chalet, the original downhill ski chalet that's now a Nordic Center. But anyway, the Touring Foundation then operates, manages, grooms, and maintains that whole big system of cross-country ski trails. So about 75 kilometers of cross-country ski trails are groomed there.
How big is this easement transfer in Wisconsin history?
It's huge. It's actually the largest conservation easement donation to a Wisconsin land trust. We believe it's the second largest easement donation in the state. The largest, actually being fairly close to this property, was the lake bed underneath the Willow Flowage that was granted as a conservation easement donation to the DNR at the time they did the purchase of the roughly 27,000-acre Willow Flowage scenic area. So in terms of working with the 50 land trusts in the state of Wisconsin, this is the biggest conservation easement donation that any of our local land trusts have received.
Ken and Carolyn Aldridge, this couple that, you know, originally they were from the suburban Chicago area, they've moved to Minocqua, but they approached you, and they purchased these 3,200 acres with $4.5 million, and then set aside these easements in perpetuity, restricting development forever. I mean, how rare is that?
Yeah, that's extremely rare, and it's a really neat example of people stepping up as what we call conservation buyers, where they find an area that they love, that they know they want to protect, and actually realize that it's going to take somebody to step in and buy it. This property was up for sale. It was owned by Potlatch Corporation, industrial forest type property, and they had it up for sale. So anybody could have potentially bought it, could have converted it, subdivided it, put it into any kind of other kind of development. So they stepped in specifically to protect the property.
Well, I want to play an interview we did with Ken and Carolyn Aldridge. But first, Matt, I'd like you to weigh in on this whole transaction and what it means for the Minocqua area.
Yeah, living or working out of Minocqua area, I think it's a great gift to the local community to have now all these trails and that trail network protected forever and accessible. This project's been around since the late 1990s that I heard about it, when it traded hands from originally the land was owned, I think, by Packaging Corporation America, then was sold to Tomahawk Timberlands, then Potlatch, and then it was being sold again. All the while, there was all concern about who would buy small pieces, close off access to the trails, and now we don't have to worry about that anymore. So what a gift to the community.
What we're going to do is take a short break, and then we're going to come back and play the interview with Ken and Carolyn Aldridge, the couple that made all of this possible, 3,200 acres of land protected forever around Minocqua Winter Park, an incredible parcel. Those cross-country ski trails will never be taken out of use. And we want to hear from you, 1-800-780-9742, if you'd like to talk about the Nature Conservancy, the Northwoods Land Trust, the whole idea of setting aside some of the pristine and some of Wisconsin's best jewels for future preservation. 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We've got Matt Dahlman of the Nature Conservancy and Brian Pierce of the Northwoods Land Trust with us. Guys, when did you first meet Ken and Carolyn Aldridge? When did they first approach you?
Yeah, I'm going to say we actually met with them, or with Ken at least, on the day that they closed on the purchase of the property from Potlatch Corporation, which would have been, I think, June of 2010, so about 18 months ago.
So, and I had met with them previously to talk to them about how to acquire lands from a paper company. And at the time, they were talking about tinkering with smaller parcels and whether they should buy bits and pieces and how to do it. And thankfully, they came around and bought it all.
So. Well, apparently, according to what they're about to tell us, buying it all was the only way they could get the deal done. Here's Ken and Carolyn Aldridge, this extraordinary couple that purchased 3,200 acres of land and then donated the easements through the Northwoods Land Trust so that the cross-country ski and recreation area will be preserved forever. Here's Ken and Carolyn Aldridge.
Probably what caught our interest first was all the old mature trees that were on it. And of course, it's a cross-country ski area, and it has a lot of glacial features as well, and these, you know, hills and eskers and little potholes. So there's a lot of relief to the terrain, a lot of beautiful trees. There's wetlands, and once we started to walk and explore the property, we realized all the headwaters of the Yukon Creek are
fire tower.
Yeah, it's got a fire tower. So it just, as we explored it, we found out more and more how beautiful it was, but it was the trees that really caught our attention in the excessive logging that was going on, clear cutting, and that made us pretty nervous about the future out there.
Tell me about the tree stands. What are they like?
You know, these are stands that were planted or grew naturally starting in 1900, and some of them are still pretty intact, and some of them have been logged and replanted over the years. But there's a lot of mature trees, Norway pine, white pine, some hemlocks, some old spruce trees, and quite a bit of what they call the core area of Winter Park, where the majority of the trails are.
And you were concerned about clear cutting.
Yeah, because there was a lot of it happening. They had planned on clear cutting the whole thing.
You know, it's one thing to enjoy a place and appreciate it. It's another thing to buy it, and that's a big chunk of land you bought, 3,200 acres.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have second thoughts? Did you consider maybe not buying the whole parcel and just buying a part of it?
Well, I guess it became somewhat emotional, but I went in there just to buy 1,000 acres with some local people just to preserve some of the core ski trails. And then, so it turns out the only way to preserve the 1,000 acres that we wanted to was to buy the whole thing, or we weren't able to make the deal happen.
Carolyn, how did you feel about going out on a limb like this and buying all of that property?
You know, we definitely went on a limb, but it was something. It's like when a fire is coming. It's something that had to be done. You know, you have to throw water on it right away, and you try to put it out, protect the property, secure the property. And it was really only afterwards that we thought, especially Ken, what have we done?
Yeah. We went from buying a third of it to buying all of it within a 2-3 month period. It all happened very fast, but since we really wanted to do the preservation, we just started talking to the Northwoods Land Trust and the Nature Conservancy locally. We talked to both of them, and the Northwoods Land Trust wanted to come up and help us do it. So we just started looking for ways to preserve it. It just kind of happened. I mean, it honestly, we didn't have a long, year-long, years-long vision of this at all. It just came into being, but we knew we wanted to save it, and that seemed like the best way to do it. I knew I couldn't afford to keep all the land. I knew I could never do it. So the easement was the only way to protect it forever.
Tell me how that works.
It's a deed restriction now that all the development rights of this land have been given to Northwoods Land Trust, and by their charter, they're not allowed to develop. So the development rights have been extinguished on this property.
So what I understand from what I've heard is that you're going to allow small cabins to be built on some of the parcels, but no big homes?
We have it divided into 12 parcels and that are allowed by the easement to be sold off over time. And each one of those has a building site that's allowed a very small seasonal, like a hunting cabin type of thing.
Yeah, very seasonal. A lot of restrictions on it. It's not a year-round cabin. It's very seasonal.
No utilities, that type of thing.
But still, it would give somebody who purchases a parcel a place to stay.
Yes.
Carolyn, tell me what attracts you to this property, to this this land. How does it affect you emotionally?
Deeply. Deeply. I'm a very, very strong outdoors woman. I live my life out of doors. And when I discovered Winter Park up here, you know, first for skiing, it was paradise for me to ski through the trails and the forest and the wetlands and the rivers and the views. It's really a deep emotional level. And then as we, you know, started going out in the summer and realized how much water is out there, lakes and ponds and beaver. The wildlife is enormous out there, and it's very visceral. It's just a deep, deep emotion.
Are you worried that so much of what makes northern Wisconsin unique, exactly the things that you just described to me, are disappearing and being lost to development?
Oh, very much so. Not only that, I hear, you know, other people say their kids don't even know what a forest is. All they know are woods, you know, because it's all been cut down, and it's cut down so quickly and so rapidly. Nothing is allowed to become a forest, and that's, you know, a public area until you get all the way up to Lake Superior.
I guess cynical people would say, what's in it for me? But if they're going to ask that question, probably that's not something they're going to do in the first place.
No, and I think people that come up here that love the Northwoods came here for the woods and the water, and sometimes they get distracted and forget about it. But at the end of the day, if they really sit back and think about why they're here, that's what they love, is the clean water and the clean air and the woods. And someone's got to step up and help preserve it. I mean, it's not just going to happen.
We feel terrific about it, and I was out Winter Park today all day, and the amount of gratitude from people is overwhelming, you know, for saving the forest, saving Winter Park. 10,000 people a year use it out there, and everyone is, it was almost felt like being at a carnival today. Everybody's so happy, and that in itself is its own reward.
Well, thank you both for what you did, and let's hope that some other people follow in your footsteps.
Yeah, we hope so. Thank you so much.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. It's Ken and Carolyn Aldridge, the couple that managed to get 3,200 acres of cross-country ski land set aside around Minocqua Winter Park. Were either of you at that kickoff celebration? Were either of you able to make it?
Yeah, we actually hosted it with Minocqua Winter Park folks and the Lakeland Ski Touring Foundation. And
was it like a carnival?
Yes, it was. It was really fun, and unfortunately, Ken and Carolyn couldn't be there. Ken managed to break his ankle just prior to the dedication ceremony, ice skating of all things, and wound up on his way to the hospital instead of at the dedication. But it was really fun because there were lots and lots of skiers out. This was on the 29th, so after Christmas time, people enjoying the really new snow that was out there, and,
yeah,
and extremely good grooming conditions on the trails. And so there were lots of skiers there, plus a lot of folks that just wanted to thank them and celebrate that dedication.
Well, that's why we had to do the pre-recorded interview with Ken and Carolyn from Illinois, where he was undergoing surgery. We've got about 2.5 minutes here. Was this a real complicated deal, Brian, in terms of trying to make all of this happen with the private easements and the private parcels of land and the cabins but not the big homes on them and so on?
Yes, it was more involved than a typical conservation easement, but a conservation easement is often a limited development scenario, and I think that's something that's maybe a misconception among a lot of people. We often have a conservation easement that allows for a single-family residence or something on a property, but still protects a significant stretch of natural shoreline. The more complexity of this project had to do with the continued outdoor recreation through the cross-country ski trails and snowshoe trails, and working in partnership with the Lakeland Ski Touring Foundation as the management organization that maintains and continues the grooming on them.
But you folks managed to get it done.
We did, yeah. It was about an 18-month process, yeah. But 21 drafts of the conservation easement, which is the legal agreement that makes it a permanent deed restriction.
And we don't want to scare people away. So this was a more complicated venture than most. But Matt Dahlman, if somebody wants to get land set aside, either through the Northwoods Land Trust or through the Nature Conservancy or someone else, what's your advice to them?
Sure, and I think we're all online, so that's probably the easiest way to find out, and give us a call and stop by our offices and talk with us.
But this is something else, isn't it? 5 square miles, $4.5 million, and those easements are protected forever. Do you think they'll be able to sell those parcels of land with just a cabin on them without utilities and the limited use? He's planning on selling some of that property in order to recoup some of the money that he had to lay out.
Right, and I think what is really going to happen is you're going to have people that have a long-time history or sincere interest in Monaco Winter Park, in the cross-country ski trails, and being able to utilize that system, and then to have them be able to build a seasonal cottage that they can come in and then access those ski trails, and also participate as a steward of the land.
That's Brian Pierce of the Northwoods Land Trust, Matt Dahlman of the Nature Conservancy. I'm Glenn Moberg. When we come back on Route 51, we'll also be hearing from Mary Rose Tevis of the DNR about the State Stewardship Fund and Dave Kozalu of the group that manages Minocqua Winter Park after this news.
Support for WPR comes from Upper Iowa University, offering an online master's degree in public administration, helping develop leaders in government and nonprofit organizations. Learn more at uiu.edu/graduate.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
We're back on Route 51, Regional Talk Radio, focusing on land trusts and conservancy and the preservation specifically of 3,200 acres of cross-country skiing land surrounding Minocqua Winter Park, made possible by the generous donation of a couple, Ken and Carolyn Aldridge, who purchased the property and then had development restrictions put on it to keep the trail easements in place in perpetuity. Our guest for the second half of the program, Brian Pierce, Executive Director of the Northwoods Land Trust, which coordinated the land preservation effort. Also, Matt Dahlman, Regional Director of the Northern Wisconsin Chapter of the Nature Conservancy. And joining us from Madison by telephone, we have Mary Rose Tevis, Director of the Bureau of Community Financial Assistance for the Wisconsin DNR. Mary Rose, thanks for joining the conversation.
Happy to be here.
Now, if you'd like to join the conversation, if you're interested in how all this business of conservancy and land trust works, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. But first, in case you just tuned in, let's hear another perspective on the news of the week, the preservation of those 3,200 acres around Minocqua Winter Park. Here's a short interview I did with one of the people who helps manage the area, Dave Kozalu of the Lakeland Ski Touring Foundation.
Lakeland Ski Touring Foundation was established 30 years ago in order to promote cross-country skiing in the Lakeland area. Our primary responsibility is managing Minocqua Winter Park as a public facility for the town of Minocqua. We've done that for the past 30 years, and it's turned into a facility that we believe is one of the premier cross-country ski areas in the Midwest. But we were always quite concerned that we were dependent on a group of private landowners for our trails. And as a result, there was some concern that with greater and greater forest fragmentation that there might be a problem with someday not having a landowner who was open to the idea of having ski trails on their property. we struck it rich with Ken and Carolyn Aldridge, who had decided to purchase the land a year ago, and then on December 1st decided to, in cooperation with the Northwoods Land Trust, to put protections on the property that will guarantee ski trail access to the public in perpetuity.
So this won't be wilderness land per se, but it will allow public access.
Yes, it continues to be privately owned land that is still managed for timber production, although the intent is to manage it much less aggressively with the intent of managing it for old growth forest to protect some of the significant stands of 80, 90-year-old pines in the area.
3,200 acres is a lot of property. Give me an idea of how significant this parcel is for you.
Well, 3,200 acres is 5 square miles. Most people can appreciate that in terms of size. It protects about 40 kilometers of cross-country ski and snowshoe trails.
For those who aren't familiar with the parcel or the area, give us an idea of what it's like. What is the land like if you're cross-country skiing on it? What are the things that you could see?
Well, it's a heavily glaciated area. In other words, there's a lot of glacial features. There's eskers and drumlins and mix of wetland and high ground that makes for almost a perfect terrain for cross-country skiing. And there's a number of streams, the Squirrel River and Yukon Creek. There are beaver dams and beaver ponds, and it is a spectacular piece of property.
$4.5 million is a pretty significant chunk of money, and then to turn around and put these restrictions on it, boy, that's something you don't see every day.
Well, it is the largest private donation of a conservation easement in the history of the state of Wisconsin, private donation to a land trust. The Lakeland Ski Touring Foundation and the skiers of the North Woods received an early Christmas present this year. We couldn't be happier with this arrangement. It's our dream come true.
That's Dave Kozlu of the Lakeland Ski Touring Foundation, the group that helps manage Minocqua Winter Park, where this huge donation affects the property. We have heard from Brian Pierce and Matt Dahlman with their reaction to this transfer of land. Mary Rose Tevis, what's your reaction, if you're just gleaning it from what you heard Dave Kozlu say?
Well, it's fabulous. I read an article about it recently online. It's a fabulous, generous donation, and it's very consistent with the other types of projects that other land trusts are working on, although, as was said, this is the largest.
What do you do with the DNR, Mary Rose, and how do you assist in land preservation efforts?
The Department of Natural Resources has many bureaus. Mine happens to be the one that administers grant and loan programs. We have 2 loan programs in the Bureau and 33 grant programs. These are all established by the legislature, and we are charged to fairly administer them. One of those grant programs is the stewardship program. Now, the stewardship program was first developed in 1989 and established for a 10-year period, and we're into our third decade, if you will, of stewardship. Now, the stewardship program has several components, one of which is we provide funds to local units of government to either acquire land or to develop land for recreational purposes, things like trails and boat ramps and bathrooms and parking lots, that kind of thing. We also provide grants to nonprofit conservation organizations, which is a fancy way to say land trusts. And we work with the land trust, and they work with landowners to either buy land, all the rights of land, or to buy easements, which is what's happened in this case with the Lakeland Ski Foundation, Touring mm-hmm. Foundation, is they only bought some of the rights of the land. So the stewardship program allows either all the rights to be purchased, some of the rights to be purchased, or funds for development projects.
Now, why is a stewardship fund something that's absolutely vital to make some deals and some transactions happen, but in other cases, for instance, in this case, even though it was a very large transaction, the state stewardship fund wasn't even used?
It's correct. In this case, stewardship money wasn't used. There are several considerations. One is the stewardship money is limited. We only have a certain amount, and we have way more applicants than we have funding. The stewardship program acknowledges that the Department of Natural Resources can't do everything. We can't buy all the land. We don't have enough money to do that. We don't have enough staff to administer it. So the legislature acknowledged that there would be times when it was okay for stewardship funds to go to local units of government or nonprofits, and it's a 50% cost share, and we work through these other partners. They bring the other side of the money to the table in order to complete the transaction. Were it not for the stewardship program and our ability to cost share grants to local governments and land trusts, many important acres, desirable acres, could not be protected for future generations.
Brian, why didn't you find it was necessary to use a stewardship fund in this case?
Well, actually, our land trust so far has not used a stewardship fund, although we have worked on a couple projects where we anticipated using it. Many local land trusts do use it. In this case, I think one of the key components was the landowners wanted to be able to retain the right to control public access for some types of public access. And typically the stewardship fund requires public access for cross-country skiing and snowshoeing, but also hiking, hunting, trapping, fishing, those kinds of activities. And in this case, because it's going to remain private land, the landowners wanted to be able to have that potential to limit public access for things like hunting and fishing to their own group. So as those 12 tracks get sold off, one of the potential buyers of those is someone who wants to establish their own private hunting camp in the North Woods. Now, right now, the property is owned or is managed under the state's managed forest law program and enrolled under that. So those kinds of public access still can occur out there, but some future landowner may make a different decision on that. They'll have to retain this cross-country ski and snowshoe access, but they can do kind of their own thing with hunting and fishing access.
And Matt Dahlman, the Nature Conservancy has made extensive use of the stewardship fund on some very big projects.
Right. We've used the stewardship fund quite frequently. And in many cases, people have had land for generations in the family, and they're essentially land rich and cash poor, so they aren't in the position where they can make a straight donation. So for a land trust to be able to come up with $4 million is a lot of people to find for donors. So in that case, but in other cases, the stewardship fund comes in with 50% matching funds, and we're able to then protect the property and bring in gifts, private donations for the other half. It's been an incredible program in Wisconsin. Probably one of the reasons why we see the 50 land trusts that we have in the state. About 500,000 acres have been protected with the stewardship fund. A lot of it is almost entirely open to public access hunting and fishing.
Give me an example of some of the bigger projects that you've been involved in.
Sure. The most of the ones that we've done have been fee acquisitions that have used the stewardship. So the Tenderfoot Forest Reserve in Vilas County, the Catherine Walter Wilderness Area, and also in Vilas County. Those are ones where we came in and purchased several thousand acres of land so that it could be open for the public to hike and hunt and fish. Other ones that we've worked in partnership with the state of Wisconsin on that use the stewardship, the state's portion of the stewardship, and Mary can describe that better, have been the Wild Rivers Legacy Forest. That's 64,000 acres in northeast Wisconsin, permanently accessible for timbering and the jobs that are connected with that, as well as the recreational opportunities, hunting, fishing, snowmobiling. That's where we've been able to really implement and use stewardship at a large scale. They're also in Forest County with the Wabakon Waters and Woods project.
We're going to play a short tape about that particular project a little bit later, but Mary Rose, do you want to weigh in on any of the projects that you've been involved with the Nature Conservancy?
Well, the Nature Conservancy, as you heard, is the largest in the state. They have been participating in the program almost since the beginning. I think the first grant was 1991. The wonderful thing about Nature Conservancy is that they have the resources to have technical staff, and those technical staff are very knowledgeable. They put together excellent projects, excellent applications. They handle all the details, appraisals, endangered resources review. They make it possible for us to move projects through the process and to make awards as expeditiously as possible. And they're also targeting, because of their mission, they're targeting the best of what's left. And regardless of where their project is in the state, Nature Conservancy projects are always gems.
We got we were contacted by email from Tim from Minocqua, who It says that from the way he views it, because this land is still going to stay in private hands surrounding Minocqua Winter Park, it's not really a true conservancy effort.
Well, it's certainly a protected property, and I think that's the big issue is what can and can't happen on that property in perpetuity. So the conservation easement does run with the land, regardless of who owns it in the future. So as Ken mentioned, the 12 tracts can be sold to other private parties, but whoever owns that land is subject to the terms of that conservation restriction.
And also, and another point is that this may have been a great gift for recreational opportunities in the state, but it's also, if you look at it from a connected forest perspective, there's the willow flowage, there's county lands, there's state lands, national forest lands. This 3,000 acres are going to be permanently well-managed forever. And underneath a management plan that it could have been sold in little pieces, five-acre lots. People could have been liquidating the timber. So it is of conservation benefit. That 3,000 acres is going to be wildlife habitat.
Mary Rose Tevis, how important is that to maintain wildlife corridors so that we don't have individual parcels that are just isolated from one another, but you actually have connected, protected places so that ecosystems can remain intact?
It's very important. There are two sub-programs in stewardship that focus on land trusts. One is for a habitat area, and the other is for natural areas. And the whole idea, as you say, is to keep from having disconnected parcels, to create corridors for wildlife to, not only for wildlife to roam, but for people then to go and enjoy them, to have nature appreciation, nature study, hunting, fishing, trapping. So it's very much an integral part of what we're doing.
Mary Rose Tevis of the DNR, Brian Pierce of the Northwoods Land Trust, Matt Dahlman of the Nature Conservancy, and you, if you want to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking about land conservancy, land trust, the Nature Conservancy, the Northwoods Land Trust, the donation of 3,200 acres of land outside of Minocqua Winter Park with Brian Pierce of the Northwoods Land Trust, Matt Dahlman of the Nature Conservancy, and Mary Rose Tevis of the DNR. Matt, we mentioned briefly the project you were involved with in the Nature Conservancy, setting aside two pristine Northwoods lakes and a working industrial forest in Leona. I did a news story on that, and this is a portion of it to give you an idea of exactly what is possible.
In the late 1800s, pioneering lumberman William Duncan Connor snowshoed across northern Wisconsin looking for a place to build a sawmill. His great-grandson, Gordon R. Connor, is vice president of the company he founded, Connor Timber Associates.
William Duncan Connor brought the railroad in, transported people into Forest County, and created a community, Leona, Wisconsin.
Here in Leona, Gordon Connor says William Duncan's dream lives on at two company subsidiaries, Nicolay Hardwoods with a sawmill that employs 60 people, and WD Flooring, where more than 200 workers turn the milled timber into finished products.
We produce over 12 million board feet of hardwood lumber.
The timber for the mill and the factory comes from a nearby 19,000-acre forest. Steve Guthrie is the woodlands manager for Nicolay Hardwoods.
This property has been in family ownership since the late 1800s, and it represents one of the most unique timber resources left in northern Wisconsin.
Guthrie says the family forest also protected the shorelines of two lakes, Lake Riley and Lake Wabakon.
These lakes are as pristine as any in the Northwoods.
I'm walking on the frozen surface of Lake Wabakon on this cold early December afternoon. When you look across to the opposite shoreline, what's striking is what you don't see. No homes, no condominiums, and no development. Just a vast expanse of Northwoods forest. An agreement that was signed this past year will keep it that way forever.
Everyone wants their piece of heaven in the Northwoods, and these wild lakes were at risk, and so were the forests.
Matt Dahlman is the Northern Wisconsin Director for the Nature Conservancy, which got the land set aside in a deal with the Connors, the federal government, and the state of Wisconsin, which contributed $8 million from its stewardship fund.
The way the stewardship fund was used, it's access for tourism, for the public. It's preserving 19,000 acres of land that'll be available for timber production for a local mill that supports about 200 jobs in the economy.
Nicolay Hardwood, Steve Guthrie.
It's critical that we see that funding continue through the legislature, and you know, there's always pressure to balance state budgets, and I don't think there's a better use for that money than to see these resources conserved.
So Mary Rose Tevis, there's an example of how the state stewardship fund was used, and I think a lot of people sometimes have an idea that when you do this, you're somehow opposing industry, but here we're maintaining a working industrial forest while preserving these lakes and preserving the ecosystem.
Absolutely, and it just goes to show that we can strike a balance between the two.
Now, one of the things that Steve Guthrie mentioned was that he was worried about cuts to the state stewardship fund. And we do live in very austere, very harsh economic times. A lot of important things around the state have been cut. It's probably unreasonable to assume that something like the stewardship fund would come through unscathed. But how much is the stewardship fund actually at risk as we try to balance budgets without raising taxes?
Well, the stewardship program, the funding for the program, was recently reduced. It had been $86 million a year, and the legislature reduced it back to the $60 million it had been in the prior decade. Now, for future, I can't speak to what the legislature might do. I think it's important for all of those who benefit by lands purchased with stewardship to say to their legislators, their local elected officials, gee, I really like this. It's wonderful that we have these recreational opportunities. This is a great thing to do with my taxpayer dollars.
Matt Dahlman, if you could comment on the stewardship fund, the property in Forest County specifically, and why I assume you think it's pretty important to keep funding for it intact.
Sure, and we as a conservation community understand that these are challenging economic times, and that cut from 86 to 60 is understandable. We sure hope, and we're hopeful that when the economy turns around that we can get it back to that $86 million so we can put it back into good use and keep jobs like Nicolay Hardwoods is doing. And that property, that's an interesting combination of state money, the stewardship fund, in addition to the Land and Water Conservation Fund. As was mentioned in that segment, some of that land, majority of it, is kept as a working forest, and then some of it also around Riley and Wabakon Lakes is going to be protected forever using the Land and Water Conservation Fund. And that's federal money, not generated from taxes. It's fees assessed on offshore gas and oil. And I think if people, again, both at the state and federal level, like to see these types of projects, contact your representatives and let them know that we want to see this continue.
Brian Pierce?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these are critical funding sources, and I think it's really a great way. The stewardship fund, for example, is a great way to leverage private contributions and also those federal dollars. So you're really maximizing the return on investment on those conservation dollars.
Yeah, and that's really important, Brian, because the money that's come from private donations is about $140 million that we brought in since the beginning of the stewardship program. So that's a lot of private money to do conservation for the public.
Mary Rose, anything you'd like to add? We are rapidly running out of time here.
I just want to encourage any landowners who may be listening, if they're interested, to contact the land trust near them to begin the dialogue. Many of these projects take years and years to iron out and to come to fruition, but contact your land trust to begin the dialogue, and the DNR has regional grant staff that work with land trusts, that work with local units of government to protect these special places for future generations.
Anything you guys want to add?
No, I would say ditto. I mean, contact, we like volunteers. A lot of us operate on small staffs. I'm a one-person office. Although we're a big organization, we have one person working in the north. Come knock on our door.
And, Brian, congratulations on helping make this 3,200 acres happen.
Congrats, Brian.
Thank
you.
Everyone in the North Woods is saying thank you.
Yeah, and a special thanks to, obviously, Ken and Carolyn Aldridge.
Yes.
And thank you for listening. We want to thank today's guests, Brian Pierce, the Executive Director of the Northwoods Land Trust, Matt Dahlman, Director of the Northern Wisconsin Region of the Nature Conservancy, and Mary Rose Tevis, Director of the Bureau of Community Financial Assistance of the Wisconsin DNR. Thanks also to Dave Kozlew of the Lakeland Ski Touring Foundation and Ken and Carolyn Aldridge, who contributed pre-recorded interviews for this program. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and our on-air producers, Jane Ritger and Karen Carlson. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next Thursday on Route 51, we look at the budget challenges facing our regional UW campuses with UW-Stevens Point Chancellor Bernie Patterson, UW-Marathon County Dean Keith Montgomery, and UW-Marshfield Wood County Dean Patricia Stewart. Route 51 can be heard every Thursday at 5 p.m. on the Ideas Network stations WLBL 91.9 FM Wausau, 930 AM Auburndale Stevens Point, WHBM 90.3 FM Park Falls, WHAA 89.1 FM Adams Wisconsin Rapids, and WHRM 90.9 FM High Definition Channel 3. A reminder, you can follow our adventures on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks again for riding along with us today. I'm Glenn Moberg. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we're heading out of town.